In the name of our triune God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Did anybody else think that it was odd that the epistle reading this morning was about the replacement of Judas? I don't know. Now, in that reading from Acts, Peter says that someone had to be chosen to keep the ministry of the church going. And that ministry, of course, is that we go into the whole world preaching the gospel, telling people the good news of Jesus Christ. And that pretty basically is a pastor's job description. So what's it like being a pastor? What is my favorite part? What do I like best? Now, I realize I'm probably going to be mixing up the first person, second person, and third person, but my seminary professors would go crazy, but I'm sure you'll understand. A young mother and father come and say that they want to have their baby baptized. Maybe they had trouble conceiving. Maybe there were complications with the labor and the delivery. You meet with them and you talk about the promise that they are making to raise this child in the Christian faith. And even more, you tell them about the promise that God is making that this child will be part of his family forever. The day of the baptism comes, the church is full. We pour water on the child's head 3 times in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit, and there is a new little saint in God's kingdom. That's the best part. That's my favorite. The child comes to Sunday school. His parents, her parents, are following through on the promise that they made to raise this child in the Christian faith. And there is a volunteer teacher there taking time out of her busy schedule because she thinks it's important that our young people know about Jesus. She gives them a coloring sheet, and the little girl takes one colored crayon, scribbles over the whole sheet. And that sheet goes on her grandparents' refrigerator. And they admire it as if it was a Rembrandt. Yeah, you know, everybody thinks that their child's an artistic genius, but ours really is. I know that to be true. The teacher teaches her to sing, "Jesus Loves Me." And she really means it. And her parents teach her to pray before going to bed at night. And one night, they forget to pray. And the little girl says, "Mom, Dad, aren't you forgetting something?" She's become a disciple of Jesus. That's the best part. That's my favorite. A boy comes to the confirmation class. One day he gets a little rowdy, as boys sometimes will, and I lose my patience, and I say, "Why are you even here anyway?" And he has just the line that he knows will cut me to the heart. And he says, "I'm only here because my parents make me be here." And I say to him, "Wonderful. When you were baptized, your parents promised that they were going to raise you as a Christian. And if the only reason that you are here is because they are making you being here, then they are being faithful to that promise. And I thank God for it." He matures. I mellow. Over time, he's asking questions like, "Pastor, how can Jesus really be present in the bread and the wine?" It wasn't so long ago he was asking questions like, "If Jesus lives in my heart, when I eat my lunch, does he get crumbs on my head?" We look at the scripture, we talk, I explain, and he gets it. He really gets it. And then confirmation day comes, and there's a young man kneeling at the rail, and he confesses his faith in Jesus Christ. And I lay my hands on him and anoint him with oil and pray for the Holy Spirit to be stirred up inside of him. And then suddenly there is a new adult member of this congregation. He receives the Lord's body and blood for the first time. That's the best part. That's my favorite. Young people graduate. They go off to college or to the military or to a job. And you know that they're hearing questions and that people are making criticisms about Christ and the church and the Christian faith. And you know that they're around people who don't have the same morals and values that they have. And that the pressure on them to conform to those worldly values is just about overwhelming. But then Christmas Eve comes, and they come home, and they come to the Christmas Eve service. And in the flicker of the candles, as we sing Silent Night, you see a flicker of faith in their smiles. And you see a spark of the light of Christ in their eyes. And you know that they still believe. They still believe what you taught them. That's the best part. That's my favorite. A young girl calls and says, "Pastor, I'm getting married." And you do the pre-marriage counseling with a happy couple. You talk about faithfulness and commitment and sacrifice, what it means for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health. Now, the groom-to-be walks in. He wasn't raised in a church. He doesn't know an epistle from an apostle. But he says he wants to join the church. His bride-to-be's love for him has become the vehicle for Christ's love to come to him. Wedding day comes. The bride's beautiful. The groom's handsome. They make their vows. And at the end, I give a stage whisper. You may kiss the bride. Since the invention of the kiss, there have been five that were rated most pure, most passionate, and this one left them all behind. And the preacher's face turned red. That's the best part. That's my favorite. But life is hard. The job is so stressful. Your boss is such an idiot. Raising children is so hard. Sometimes you think the baptism didn't take and they're full of demons. Money's tight, and there never just seems to be any time to relax. And that wonderful, beautiful, exciting person that you married, whatever happened to them? Where did they go? Now, sometimes there's abuse, there's abandonment. Things have to come to an end. It's always painful. It hurts when one flesh is ripped apart. But our God is a God of forgiveness and second chances and new beginnings. And sometimes the pastor or the couple remembers that the pastor said he would always be there for them if there was anything he could do. So they call the pastor, go to see him. They're really not expecting much of anything at all. And he asks them to remember, why did you fall in love in the first place? And he asks them to remember those vows that you made on your wedding day. And before they know it, they're talking, really talking like they haven't talked in years. And they come to the conclusion that for better, for worse, really isn't all that bad. Because there's an unseen presence in their marriage, and it's the presence of Christ, and that gives them the strength to go on. And so they endure. They survive. They thrive. That's the best part. That's my favorite. Pastor, I need to talk to you. The doctor called. The test results are not good. I'm going to be needing surgery. It's not really sure just where this thing is going to go. So you get together, and you hug, and you cry, and you pray. You pray for God's healing. It's a long journey. It's never a straight line. There's good days, there's bad days. But although the outcome wasn't certain, miraculously, everything works out. And once again, you hug and you cry, but now it's tears of joy. And you pray in thanksgiving. And you say, God is good all the time. And you know that Jesus is still doing miracles. He's still healing his people. That's the best part. That's my favorite. Sometimes the damage is just too much. The pain is too great. The disease is too strong. And a cure isn't to be. You walk the road with the dying as closely or as distantly as they will let you. You pray. You read scripture. Near the end, you pray, may Christ welcome you into heaven with all of his saints. And at the end, you pray, rest eternal, grant him, O Lord, and let light perpetual shine upon him. And although the person may have been like a mother or a father or a sister or a brother to you, you set all of your emotions on the back burner so that you can be the strong one, so that you can comfort others. And then over the casket or over the urn, you whisper, I will see you again. This is not goodbye forever. This is just see you later. And then another saint has gone into Christ's nearer presence, which is what it was all about all along. That's the best part. That's my favorite. Just three more vignettes. No longer composites or generalizations, true stories. I'll try to get to the point, which may be as obvious. It was my last day in another parish, and a lady came up to me and said, you know, Pastor, when my son and I joined this church a few years ago, he was really in a very bad way. He was in with a tough crowd. He was drinking and doing drugs. He had already been in trouble with the law. And in the time that we've been here, his life has turned around 180 degrees. And I asked him what caused the change, and he said that it was something that you said to him. What did you say? Well, I told her the truth. I said, you know, I really don't ever remember saying anything to him that was life-changing. I mean, we had lots of conversations and, you know, we spent time together, but, you know, I really don't know what he found so important in what I said. And that's true. Somehow, even unbeknownst to me, God put his wisdom in my mouth. Wasn't anything of my doing. It was all God. Another last day at another parish, good friend, somebody I'd worked with very closely, comes up and says, Pastor, whenever I'm feeling down and depressed, I remember something you said in a sermon, and it makes me smile. Well, now it's my turn. What was it that I said? He said, Pastor, you once started a sermon by saying, you wouldn't know it to look at me now, but I was kind of chubby when I was a kid. He said, whenever I hear that, I just burst out laughing. Now, I would not say that that was exactly the pure gospel that I spoke at that moment. But if me playing the fool is going to bring some light and some happiness into somebody's life, I will gladly be a fool for Christ any day. Another woman, again, someone I was very close to, my daughter thought of her as her grandmother. She said to me, Pastor, remember that Christmas Eve when my granddaughter was just a toddler and she got loose and ran up into the chancel and you picked her up and you held her in your arms and you preached the entire Christmas Eve sermon with her in your arms. That was the best. That is something I will never forget. And I smiled and I nodded because that wasn't me. That was the pastor before me. But I wasn't going to say that and ruin her sweet memory. My point is, in my career as a pastor, I have never said one good word. I have never done one good deed. If it seemed that I did, that was only Christ working through me and over my protests. You don't know how many times before a Bible class or a council meeting or a counseling session or before I walked into a hospital room or a hospice room or a funeral home, you don't know how many times I've prayed, Lord, I have absolutely no idea what to say or what to do. Please put something in my mouth and in my head. I think about it, I'm just a puppet made of flesh and bone. I'm a marionette. I'm a ventriloquist dummy with the Holy Spirit pulling my strings, and with God throwing his voice so that it sounds like it's coming from me, but it's really him. My work has always been building on the foundations that others have laid. I'm just a kid from the mean streets of Baltimore where I had every opportunity to ruin my life, but God, for some reason, a reason he only knows, picked me up, unworthy as I am, and made it my life's work to serve good people like you. He gave me wonderful people in my life. He gave me Melody. He gave me my children. And he gave me all of you to love. And I love how you've loved me. I am absolutely undeserving of his blessings. Every time we share Holy Communion together, I am just in awe. Who am I to handle the body and blood of Christ? Only God in his mercy would allow me or allow anyone to do such a thing. Who am I that Christ died for me? I am nobody. No one is anybody until Christ makes them somebody. Thanks, Jesus. All the praise, all the honor, all the glory goes to Christ our Savior. It is all about him, praising him, loving him, sharing in his life. That's the best part. That's my favorite. Amen.